portion of God's word for our consideration is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus tells three parables. We begin reading in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who's been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And this is God's word. We bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, back in 1989, there was a man who went to a Pennsylvania flea market, and he found a $4 painting that he wanted to purchase. The man said he wasn't really as interested in the painting as he was in keeping the frame, and so he paid his $4 and went home, and $4 isn't a bad price for a painting. Once he got home, he's examining the painting, and he noticed that there was a little tear in the corner, and so he's examining it. And as he's examining it, the whole thing falls apart. The frame falls apart, and he thinks, oh man, there goes my $4 I spent on this painting. But as this frame and this painting fell apart, this old but crisply folded document fell out. And curious, he unfolded the document and began to read, and he was astounded at what he read. It said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created with certain unalienable rights, and that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And these are words that you might recognize from the Declaration of Independence. As it turns out, he was holding in his hand one of the 500 original copies of the Declaration of Independence, printed by John Dunlap on July 4th, 1776. This man had stumbled upon treasure. You might even say he crumbled upon the treasure. And his $4 purchase would later net a $2.4 million payday at an auction. Could you imagine what that would be like to find and then to have such valuable treasure? Jesus tells a similar story. Matthew 13, his story goes like this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." When I was younger, my parents would sometimes ask me what I wanted for my birthday or for Christmas. And one of my answers for a few years in a row was, "Metal detector. Mom and Dad, I want a metal detector." And in my mind, I had these visions of scouring the backyard and the metal detectors beeping along until it lands on the spot where there's buried treasure. Well, my parents never got me a metal detector, perhaps because they knew that there was no buried treasure in our backyard. It was different in Jesus' day. That region was often overrun by warring people and just by people traveling through in general. And so it wasn't uncommon for people to take their valuables and hide them. And one of the places that they would take their valuables and hide them was in the ground. And so Jesus tells us about a man who's walking along. And he doesn't have a metal detector that he got from his birthday. He's not holding a map that takes you to the place where X marks the spot. He's not even looking for treasure. But he found it. And when he did, in his joy, he went home and he put a for sale sign on the front yard, and he put a for sale sign and had a yard sale for his shoes, his boots, his coats, his stuff in the attic, everything he had. And he purchased that field so he could have that treasure. He recognized how valuable it was. Could you imagine what it would be like to have treasure, to find and to have such valuable treasure. Jesus tells another story. Verse 45, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. One difference between the last story that Jesus told and this one is that this man was looking for treasure. The previous man wasn't. And the treasure that this man was looking for was fine pearls. You almost wonder if you went into his home, if on the coffee table there were books about pearls and magazines about pearls. You wonder if you opened the closet if you'd find flippers and snorkel and a mask so that he could dive down and look for the pearls in the water. Perhaps he even had a display case of all the pearls that he had already found. But in his mind, he wondered, there's got to be one out there. There's got to be the pearl. And then one day, he found it. The pearl of all pearls. And so what did he do because he found this valuable pearl? As he went home and he put a for sale sign on the front yard, and he sold his flippers and his goggles, and he sold those pearls and those pearl books and everything he had to acquire that one valuable pearl. Could you imagine what it would be like to find and to have such a priceless pearl? Well, you should, because you have it. You see, Jesus is telling these stories, and Jesus isn't just telling stories to tell stories for the sake of storytelling. Jesus' parables are meant to teach us deeper truths. One of my favorite definitions of a parable is that a parable is like an imaginary garden in which you find real creatures. The real creature that Jesus is teaching about is that there is such valuable treasure out there. There is this priceless pearl. And our minds start to think about what we know about our Savior. That there in the Holy Scriptures, we find out that God became a man, and Jesus lived this perfect life, and Jesus died this innocent death, and Jesus rose again from the grave. And it's true. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. That there really is a king, and there really is a kingdom in which our God comes to us with his love and with his grace and with all these gifts from Jesus, and he gives it to you, and it's yours by faith. Just think of the promises as you peel open and peer into the Scriptures, the golden, the precious, the priceless promises that God has made to you. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. He says, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. He says, I forgive you all of your sins. He says, I will bless you and I will keep you. And you ask, could there be anything more valuable and more priceless than the gifts that we have from Jesus that are ours by faith? Well, I suppose we might think of other things. Because it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, yes, the treasure I have in Jesus is the priceless pearl. It is the most valuable treasure. That's easy to say, but it's a whole lot harder to mean when you realize what it means to follow Jesus. That Jesus comes before everything and everyone else. He comes before our reputation. He comes before our relationships. He comes before earthly treasures. He comes before life itself. It's easy to say, Jesus is the most valuable treasure I have. There's nothing better. It's easy to say that in a church. It's a whole lot harder to mean it. When you begin to wonder if Jesus' treasure is the real stuff we need for real life, when your health is declining, when the problems are increasing, when your worries are becoming bigger and louder, hasn't the thought ever crossed your mind? Is Jesus and what he gives me, is that really what I need for the real stuff of real life? Or maybe there's something out there that's better. Well, it's not just the good time, it's not just the bad times of life that may lead us to ask that. Maybe it's just the opposite. It's the good times. Maybe things are going well. Your health is good. Your dog is behaving. Your family's getting along. The bills are getting paid. Has the thought ever crossed your mind in those moments is Jesus and are the gifts that I have from Jesus my most precious treasure? Is it the real stuff I need for real life, or am I just doing fine without him? My friends, Jesus and what he gives us is the priceless treasure. It is the real stuff of real life that we truly need. And maybe that's why Jesus told the third story, because that third parable puts the other two parables into perspective. This is what he said. He said, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. And you're thinking, Jesus, you just broke your pattern of stories. You know, he set us up very nicely. There's a man who's walking along and he finds treasure in the field and he sells everything and he buys that field. Then the next story, there's a man looking for a pearl and he goes looking for the pearl and he finds it and he sells everything so he can acquire that pearl. And you're almost expecting the third story is just going to be like the first two. And then Jesus takes us to the sea and he talks about a net, and you can almost picture the fishermen as they're casting out the net, and with its weights, it goes down to the bottom of the sea. And then they pull the ropes in to the shore. And once they pull in the ropes to the shore of the nets, then they take the fish and they separate the good fish from the bad fish. And you might be thinking, well, Jesus, why are you talking about nets and fish and fishermen? Well, Jesus doesn't leave it a mystery. He says, this is how it will be at the very end of the age. Well, things just got real. Remember, these stories that Jesus tells, they're not just stories for the sake of stories. Jesus is teaching us truths about his kingdom, truths about his reign. That parables are like those imaginary gardens in which you find real creatures. Well, the real creature here is that there will be an end to the age. There will be an end to this world. There will be an end to my life. And Jesus says, here's what's going to happen at the end. That just as those fishermen took the fish and separated the good from the bad, he said, that's what the angels will do. They will separate the righteous from the wicked, those that have a righteousness by faith in Jesus from those that don't have the righteousness by faith in Jesus. He will separate them. You could call that life's most critical moment. At the moment when I am standing before my King, what is it that is most priceless and precious in my life? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not those things that we often think it is. It's not how big my bank account or retirement was or how little it was. It's not my looks or the number of likes I had. It's not the clothes I wore. It's not how good the problem solving I had or didn't have. What matters in that critical moment is my relationship and connection to Jesus. What matters is that treasure of the gospel that tells me that long before I was born, God knew me. God chose me, and then in time, God brought me to faith to believe that everything that Jesus did was for me and was for you. What matters in that most critical moment is knowing that I had a God who traded heaven, came down to earth, rode that lowly donkey into Jerusalem, gave his life on a cross, rose again from the grave, and he said, this is yours. What matters in that critical moment are the precious truths of the gospel where God says to you again and again, he says, fear not, I've redeemed you, I've summoned you by name, you're mine. He says, I forgive you all your sins. He says, I'm preparing a place for you in heaven. He says, I'm with you always. He says, I will bless you and keep you. If you're listening carefully to what Jesus is saying here in these stories, he's actually telling your story. This is a story of the treasure that we have in Jesus, the blessings we have in Jesus, the gifts we have from Jesus, and they're yours from the King. But Jesus' stories also tell us, well, now what does that mean? What does that look like because we have this treasure? Well, one of the things it looks like is that we have joy. Another thing that it looks like is because we have such valuable treasure, we are willing to forsake everything because we want to hold on to and preserve and keep that treasure. It reminds me of a story of a mother and her son. Her son was college age, and he's packing up the car because he's just about ready to leave for college. And mom and dad are saying goodbye, and she gives a hug. And, you know, they, son, we're proud of you. We love you. They tell him that. And then mom hands him a gift. And the boy opens it up, and it's a Bible. And mom says to her son, she said, son, I want you to know as you head off to college, there's treasure in your Bible. Okay, mom, he says, and off he goes. And for the next few weeks and even a couple months, things are going well. And then he hits that point that many college students hit where he's out of money. And this was before cell phones, and this was before ATMs. So he writes a good old-fashioned letter, and he says, mom, you know, college is going great, made some friends, grades are good, but mom, please send money. Mom gets the card in the mail, and she's proud and happy and writes back and says, son, I'm glad you're doing well, and don't forget, there's treasure in your Bible. He gets the card from mom and does what your mom said never to do, and he opens it up and looks for the money first, and there's no money, and he goes, ah, mom didn't get it. Then he reads the card and says, I'm going to write her again, and so he writes back and says, okay, mom, doing really well, loved your card. By the way, please send money, exclamation point. Mom gets it, writes the same thing back. Son, I'm proud of you. I love you. Sends no money, but says, I'll be coming to see you soon. So mom shows up that weekend, and it's that moment when they're just about ready to say goodbye. And he finally says, you know, mom, I keep asking for money, and you haven't sent me money. And mom said, well, son, what have I been telling you this whole time? Well, you say there's treasure in my Bible. And she said, there is. And she went and got his Bible and opens up the pages. And there between the pages, she had slipped a $100 bill, and there was a $50 bill, and there's a $20 bill. And she did this multiple times. That mom was trying to teach her son a lesson. It's not the treasure that she had slipped in between the pages that's the real treasure. It's what's written there on the pages that's the real treasure. Now, you shouldn't go to your Bibles and think, well, if I got it from mom, maybe she slipped some money in between. Know that you already have that treasure. That in the gospel's message, you know who Jesus is by faith. You have that priceless treasure. You have that priceless pearl. And because you do, dig into it. Seek to learn even more about your God through it. And you're going to find things that are old treasures, things you've heard many times before, but also those new treasures of your God and his love. You have the greatest treasure. You have the priceless pearl. And because you do, you can call off the search. You don't have to go looking out into the world for something that you can only find in Jesus. No, let your restless heart find its rest and find its peace in Jesus and Jesus alone. You have the greatest treasure. You have the priceless pearl. And because you do, you can sell off your worries. You can put a for sale sign on your fears. You can put a for sale sign on your doubts. You don't need them because you have your Savior and his promises and his love. You have the greatest treasure. You have the priceless pearl. And because you do, you have the certainty of your God's love, not only in this life, but in life forever. There will come that day when we will stand before the King, and we don't have to imagine what it's like to have incredible riches. No, we already have them in Jesus. In fact, the kingdom's ours forever. Amen.